1 Corinthians. And Kim, if you can reach behind you, there's a little dial there, if you can twist that. Okay, good. And 1 Corinthians. I want to go back just a little bit. It will be 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And so I want to just review just for a minute. We talked, because it's been a few weeks, we didn't have Sunday school last week, of course, because of treasure hunt. 2 weeks ago, we went, and I think it was 2 weeks ago, we talked about suing, basically, that you're not supposed to sue your brother. It seems like that's been 3 weeks for some reason. Maybe it has. Not supposed to sue your brother, or slew him. Either one. Either one's good. And not supposed to sue your brother. And I want to go back a little bit about that. I want to make that clear. If you read Exodus and Deuteronomy, God goes into the law, and because we're not going to that specifically today, I'm not going to go to all the verses. But it talks about justice, and God, the Bible says, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God in Micah. But it talked about, for example, it said if you had a oxen, and it was an aggressive oxen, and it liked to gouge people, and you didn't restrain it and it gouged somebody, and that person couldn't work, you would have to compensate that person for them not being able to work. You have to take care of them. If you did something irresponsible, you dug a hole and you didn't cover it, and their oxen or their cow fell in and got injured and killed, you would have to pay for that. And in certain cases, you had to pay double or four times if you stole or something like that. So God is always a God of justice, and the whole Bible is about balancing everything out, Jesus' death on the cross. See, in other words, God didn't just forgive us for sin because he loved us. His justice still had to be met. So he sent his son to die. Because God always equals everything out. Everything, justice is done. So having said that, I said, I'm not supposed to sue somebody. I said, if there's an insurance deal and somebody hits you and you get your car fixed, that's all fine. I do think that lost time, lost wages is legitimate. I want to say we shouldn't push these issues unless they're real, unless there's something legitimate, and then we should just get what's fair. I think you can try to get an ambulance chaser lawyer and try to rip them off and get $10 million because you spilled coffee on your lap and all that stuff. I'm not talking about that kind of thing. But if you had a career as a whatever, you're a mechanic, and you're walking by a building and the construction company's responsible and a bunch of bricks fall on you and you can't fix cars anymore, and you are making $40,000 a year, you should get what you can't earn anymore from that company. Now your brother goes and you have a disagreement with him and he borrows your car and crashes your car and he says he's not going to pay you back. You can't sue him because the Bible says that. But I do think if there's an opportunity and there's no vindictiveness and you're not suing an individual Christian, but and by the way, a lot of those things never go to being sued. They're arbitrated out or settled, and that's good and better probably. But I want to say it's okay to be fair and just. Just don't try to be unfair and rip people off. And don't be vindictive, and you can't sue your brother. The Bible says that of the Christians. And you better prepare yourself with these decisions, because if they're coming down the pike right now. What's happening is a lot of people aren't wise enough to make a will. And mom and dad's stuff, you find out brother's blood does not run as thick as people thought in these things. And by the way, you think all the kids just split it up fairly. You don't know much about life and money, what it does to people. Sometimes now we have parents who owe more money than they have to give an inheritance, and that settles the issue right there. And I'm just saying you had to make these decisions in your life and what you're gonna do and not do, and do it by principle, not by if I do this, I'll get $100,000, maybe I can win. I wanna say is, your brothers and sisters and mom and dad are more important than money. They're more important than money. And they're more important than $1 million. And just let it go. If they want to fight, and if I thought it should be 50-50, and here's somebody that I love and hold very dearly, and here's $100,000, and we're trying to get an inheritance and all this stuff like that, and they say, I think I should get 60. And I might sit down and see with the lawyer, whatever. Best thing to do is just say, here, it's on paper. Let's just do what the paper says. But if it wasn't that, I would say, fine. And if they said, I want all of it, I would say, you know, that's not fair. Let me tell you why it's not fair. How about whatever? And I would try to just get what I could get without a fight. Because the Bible says, blessed are the peacemakers. And I just think we had there's a lot of things more important than some extra money. And so I'm not saying don't try to be fair in things. Don't try to do just things. I'm also saying don't be this greedy generation you live in. And be wise and make principled decisions ahead of time. And then just stick with your principle, not when all of a sudden you see the dollar signs and do those things. So somebody crashes your car, somebody runs into your car. I've been in 43 car wrecks, okay? I know all about car wrecks and compensation and people running to me all the time. You know what? Yes, the insurance company is going to lowball you. They do that to me every time. Oh, you broke your neck? We'll give you $500. I mean, that's just standard procedure for what they do. I mean, they just do that. That's what they do. And I don't take the first offer. I just say, you know what? I know it's a lot more than that. I'm still not done with this medical thing. And this could be a lifetime injury that I ache for the rest of my life. And they say, you know what? I think we can give you $10,000. A lot of people just take it. So I understand. Nothing wrong with that. But also, don't be vindictive and greedy and suing people and living your life trying to, you know, find something to trip over so you can sue the company and stuff like that. So we see that. And then in this verse 5 of 1 Corinthians 6, I speak this to your shame. There's not a wise man among you, no, not even that there should be able to judge between two of his brethren. So somebody should be able to judge in the church. Brother goeth with law against brother. So we should be careful in these things. Now, going back, we finished that up. And we'll go to verse 8. And we got some strong, by the way, this is going to be a tough chapter. It's very strong warnings in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 about living right. Verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. All right, let's go ahead and pray and we'll talk about this. Our Father, thank you for the chance to teach your word, and thank you for your people who've come. Thank you we can speak the word of God in truth and see how to live today, Lord. What our society is doing now and going away from you obviously isn't working. We thank you. We have the rock on which to build our lives and on which to stand. Help us to see and hear and be spoken to powerfully, Lord. And thank you for the word of God to clarify in our lives. Speak to us and give us wisdom now in the scriptures. In Jesus' name, amen. There's a strong warning. It lists a bunch of people. And it says, the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God, neither, and then it lists a bunch of people. Now, you could take these verses out of context and say, if you do these things, then you're not going to heaven. You'll see in context it's not what it's saying, but if you just isolate those verses, you might say that. And it's going to give a list of sins. And here in this verse 9, it says, know ye not, the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators. Fornicators is sex outside of marriage. Nor idolaters, they worship idols. Nor adulterers, physical sexual activity with somebody who's married, who's not, and you're not their spouse. Nor effeminate, that's referring to homosexuality and such. Nor abuses of themselves with mankind. And all kinds of stuff we want to talk about in church, but sexual immorality that gets weird and things like that. Nor thieves. Now, first of all, most of us have felt okay, pretty safe in the first list there. First part of the list, we're okay. Good, I hope. Nor thieves, nor covetous. Now, covetous means you want something that's somebody else's. Okay? Nor drunkards, nor revilers, partying and causing fights and stuff. Nor extortioners, that's lawyers. Extortioners are people who, you know, extort money out of people and blackmail and such, shall inherit the kingdom of God. All right. So you say, man, if you've done any of those things, you can't go to heaven. Here's the key. How many murders would you have to commit to be a murderer? One. All right. So if somebody said, well, I killed somebody, but I'm not a murderer, you'd say, wait a minute. You'd say, you know, let me think about that over here. I'm going to go think about my car. And so you would say that. How many lies would you have to tell to be a liar? All right. How many times do you have to covet to be a covetous person? One. Well, I've coveted before. I've lied before. I've stole before. I've cussed before. I've been drunk before. I'm a goner. I'm in all kinds of trouble. I've done all kinds of bad things. More than once. You know, here's the thing. Unrighteous cannot inherit the kingdom of God because the Bible says this. The wages of sin is death, singular. Very simple. If you sinned one time, you don't go to heaven. You fall short of all of sin and come short of the glory of God. That's why the unrighteous can inherit the kingdom of God, because heaven's perfect. There's no sin in heaven. If you die with one sin in your record, you can't go. Now, we see that, and these are a list of unrighteousness. And he says, this is big stuff, guys. This is wrong. We shouldn't do these things. But look at the next verse. And such were some of you, but ye were washed, but ye were sanctified, but you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So my one sin that I needed to miss heaven, which is more than what I have, that's why the Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. I missed that a million times. But I've been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. I trusted him as my Savior. We just sang, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Jesus died on the cross, took away all my sins. In God's sight, those of us who are saved, you don't have sin. It's been washed away by Jesus Christ. So it doesn't matter the sin, you can pick your sin. The Bible says, Revelation 21:8, all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. One lie, you're a liar. But yet you come to Jesus saying, Lord, I can't save myself, I'm a sinner. All my good deeds, I still come short. I need you to save me, and you're washed. And as the Bible says, your sins are washed away and as white as snow. And the good news is, these things will keep you from heaven. However, the blood of Jesus Christ and his death on the cross is more powerful than our sin. But if you are relying on your good works and Jesus has not saved you, then you're stuck. And you have sin in your record. Thank God that Jesus died for our sins, so we don't have to worry about that. And he says, you've been washed. But then he goes in this verse, he says, you are washed, means you mean clean. But you're sanctified. You're justified. Now, sanctification is a little different than salvation. Sanctification is when you get cleaned up. And these things that are listed here shouldn't be named among us as Christians. Sexual immorality, covetousness, drunkenness, all these things shouldn't be named as Christians. Bible says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, be filled with the Spirit. We are not to do these things. And so we are washed away and washed of our sins of these things and sanctified and to get out of our lives. That's why the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Not only are you saved, but now your life is changing because you have Jesus inside of you and you become a different person. And all those things are not the regular anymore. They're the exception. And now you've been changed and you're serving the Lord. And that's wonderful. and that's the way it should be. And so we see that. And then we're going to go into verse 12. And now we're going to get into real strong things, real direct things that I'm always comfortable about talking about in church, but it's here in the Bible. And so it must be okay to talk about in church. But it's going to give us real strong warnings. And 12 and 13, we're going to get back to these in chapter 10 because it deals with the issue in chapter 10 more in debt. And I want to get to all together, but I'll read them. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Meats for the belly and the belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. So he's not going to be brought under the power of any, and he's talking about meats, and we'll get to that later. And now we're going to get into sexual purity. And sexual purity, and they were in a very, remember, the Corinthian area, the Corinthian city where this is written to, the city was a terribly immoral city. They said when you were a very wicked, immoral person, sleeping around with everybody and everything, you were called you were being like a Corinthian, because that's what they did. And so that's what this city was full of, and it bled into the church. If you remember chapter 5, this man was in adultery with his stepmom in the church, talking, and everybody knew about it, and it was well known and reported by everybody, and they weren't doing anything about it because remember what D.L. Moody said, as we quoted often, the world is the ocean, the church is a boat. It's okay if the boat's in the ocean, it's not okay if the ocean is in the boat. And it's okay for us to be in the world, but it's not okay for the world to be in us. And Corinth had gotten into this church, and that brought a lot of sexual immorality. And just go look at Barna research. Barna is a man who does studies on religious things, and he does polls and studies. And look at the statistics on immorality among Christians in America today. It's unbelievable. The things they do and the immorality. and I thank God that, you know, I've been around pretty elite Christians, and I hang around them, and I do things with them and other churches and people who are pretty elite Christians. So the ones that I've been around are, for the most part, there's always somebody who falls, but it's not the norm. But boy, I see a lot of lukewarm Christianity out there and people doing things, and it's just, you've become like the world. And the divorce rate among Christians in America is not much different from the divorce rate of the unsaved. All these things, the adultery rate, all these things are unbelievable. They happen within the churches. And I just don't think that should be the way it is when you've got the God of the universe dwelling among you, who's holy. And so he's deal with it. He deals with this sexual immorality, and we see that. And here's the thing that is, you got to understand here, that I'm very careful to guard against. When I grew up in the world and grew up watching and seeing and doing all the things that I did growing up in a bad atmosphere and a lot of bad things, things became norm for me, and I didn't think anything of them. And I want you to understand, anything can become the norm if you're around it enough. Doesn't matter what it is. Listen, and we can just go through history. There wasn't a bunch of Germans stopping the slaughter of the Jews because it just became norm. People who've told you in war, you just get used to killing people. You can get, if you grow up in Afghanistan among a Taliban, you'll think oppressing women and doing all those things is the norm. And it's what you can get used to, anything right or wrong. I could take you to people that I've been around who are just constant criminals, and they don't even worry or think or wonder about it anymore. It's the norm for them, where they used to think about it. And eventually things don't stand out. That's the problem, is things don't stand out anymore that used to jump out of you. Whoa, what are you doing? But eventually it's just what you see and hear. It's just the norm around you. And you get used to most anything. And if you get away from cussing and you get back around it, it stands out to you. But there was a point in my life where every other word was a cuss word. And I didn't notice it, and nobody else noticed it around me. And that happens sexually. And what I would preach for the rest of this Sunday school lesson, if you took me back in the 1950s, everybody go, they don't say this back in the 50s. They'd say, duh. Okay? In the 40s and the 30s and the 20s. But now, people watch everything on TV. They see everything on TV all the time. They hear about it at work and affairs and everything else. And by the way, did you know that there are a lot of couples now who have open affairs? And it's just what they do, and it's all accepted. But we get used to that. And so what I've chosen to do is get out of our culture and the way they think and the way I thought, and get back to the Lord and his purity and get in God's presence. And so now I see stuff, it still looks really wrong and bad. But what happens is people get used to it. And the amazing thing is Christians who get used to it say, you're kind of judgmental. That's bad. Everybody does that stuff. Okay. And you would have joined right along, throwing the Jews in the oven too. Or oppressing women or stoning witches or whatever. Doesn't matter. Whatever you're used to in your culture, you can do. And by the way, all those things are wrong. Okay? And you get used to anything. And by the way, you can get used to, there are countries in the world right now where lying is thought of as virtuous. And everybody does it. You understand, if you were an Apache, did you know how good a thief you were who made you the big guy back in the day? That if you could steal something, it was awesome. You went and bragged about it, and they never even thought stealing was wrong because it was part of their life, and that's just what was part of their culture. Whatever you get used to. That's why they could throw their babies into a volcano if they thought the volcano was angry at them. That was their culture. That's what you get used to. And so you don't get used, you say, what does the Bible say? And don't get desensitized to wrong. Don't get desensitized to things that are wrong. And when I say this, sex outside of a husband and a wife is wrong. And it'll be wrong in 100 years. And it'll be wrong if no churches preach it anymore. And it'll be wrong if I don't preach it anymore. Because forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. And so he goes into this stuff, and he deals with it specifically. Verse 15, know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? So a few things. First of all, you are part of Christ's body. We also see sexually and morally pure because you are a part of Christ's body. I don't want you to misunderstand this lesson very clearly. The Bible says that in 1 Corinthians, the bed is undefiled. The Bible says husbands and wives should be sexually active and be very happy about it and very affectionate. It's a very good thing inside marriage. It's a wonderful thing. It's a pure thing. It's a godly thing. Okay? Affection is very good. Husbands and wives who aren't being affectionate, it's wrong, the Bible teaches. Okay? It should be. Should be happening. And it's a good and pure, and there's nothing at all wrong with it at all. It's wonderful and pure in God's sight, and God loves children, and it's a byproduct of love and the physical relationships. Those are good. Outside of that, it's a dirty thing. It's a clean thing in marriage. It's a good thing. It's an honorable thing and a virtuous thing. And so we see that. I want to make sure that's very clear there. God wants that. Verse 15, know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall then I take the members of Christ and make them members of an harlot? God forbid. The Bible says, when it says members, 1 Corinthians 12 teaches this also. Members are body parts. You're the body of Christ, the Bible says. So I'm part of this body of Christ. I'm a finger, I'm an eye, I'm an ear. And it says, should you join body parts of Christ to a harlot? Because it teaches the sexual act is two becoming one physically. And you're joining together. And should you take part of Christ, a member of Christ's body, and hook it with a harlot? It says it's sexually immoral. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I take the members, the parts that are Christ's, and make them members of an harlot? God forbid. I think one of the things that makes you change and makes you start want to live more pure and more right. And by the way, can I just say this? It's a better life. You get married and have a good, happy marriage, and I speak this as a guy who grew up around a whole bunch of immoral guys growing up in the world, okay, and have kept track of those guys. And I'm the one who got married and stayed at the same woman, and she got married in a white dress. You know what? They're not nearly as happy as I am in marriage in those realms because God's way works. God's way works, and God's way satisfies, and it's good and it's pure. And I want to say that's because God's right. That's because God knows what he's talking about. That's because God designed the family and God designed sexuality. He knows what he's doing. And I just want to tell you, these people in the world, they just keep on sleeping around and running around and trying different people and trying to find somebody beautiful, and then they write songs later about how they couldn't get satisfied. And the people who write those songs had everybody they ever wanted in their concerts. And they write those songs. Because you don't get satisfied because it's part of a relationship. Sexuality isn't just physical. Especially for a woman. And so it's very important to realize that God knows what he's talking about here, and that's the design of the way God had it. Eventually, most people who live immorally and most people have messed around and been divorced, remarried, divorced, married, you know what they long for after a while? They're not even looking for the supermodel anymore. They want one person to love and be with the rest of their life. That's what they want. I'm talking people who've been with supermodels and all the, and they say, I just want to be with one person to love them, be close to them. I'm not quite so concerned about the sexual part anymore. Although that's still there and that's good. Hey, because that's the way we get. And by the way, remember last Sunday morning's message. You don't get satisfied in the world. It just alleviates the pain. Only Christ satisfies you. And verse 16, know ye not that that which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. Two shall be one flesh. That's a physical act. And verse 17, but he which is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. So you're joined to the Lord spiritually, but become you take that spiritual body that's now Christ, and you join it to the physically to immorality. It's bad. Verse 18, flee fornication. Flee means run. Bible says in 1 Timothy, flee also youthful lusts. I want to say this, and I want you to understand this real clearly. You, in your youth, and depends on your testosterone and your makeup and everything else, depends on your age and all kinds of factors. Most of your young life, maybe 50s, I don't know what the point is, where it alleviates a little bit, 60s, depends on who it is, you cannot resist sexual immorality. You must run from it. It is too powerful of a drive in an over-sexualized society. And especially every man here knows what I'm talking about, because here's the problem. Men are attracted by sight. Women are attracted by words and emotion. Some women are attracted a little bit by sight, and some men are attracted a little bit by words and emotion. I understand that. But in general, men are, that's why pornography industry is all aimed at men, okay? Because they're attracted by sight. Here's the problem. Men are attracted by sight, and we live in a society where women show everything everywhere, and where there's magazines and billboards and everything else everywhere you look, okay? On my way to go pick up bus kids, I pass how many coffee stands with half-naked women serving coffee? Okay, I'm driving to pick up bus kids for church. I'm not looking for it, okay? There's billboards, there's signs. I go to Fred Meyer's or go to Safeway to go buy a candy bar, and I got to go through a bunch of tabloids, okay? That's where we live. Here's a problem with that. A man is stimulated by that. Just like a person who can't stop eating, has an obesity problem, who sits there in Old Country Buffet and says, I'm not going to eat anything. And he smells it and sees it and looks around all the time, and there's food all around him. Guess what? He's in trouble. Okay? It's like a woman with unlimited credit card and says, I'm just going to go walk around the mall. Okay? Sure you are. Good luck. And a man is constantly sexually stimulated, and he's going to be very careful. That's why I would never recommend a Christian. And everything I'm going to say the rest of the time, okay, I sound like I'm 95 years old, okay? I'm 22. And I'm preaching on you next, so just wait there. Christians should never have cable TV in his house. Thank you. Now you got something right. Because it didn't matter what you turn on. I got bunny ears, folks. I didn't have anything for the first 6 years I was married until somebody gave me my big screen. And the internet, you got to have filters on it. And your spouse should know the password. And you shouldn't. We have two passwords on our filter. And she knows one, and I know one. Keeps us real safe. And by the way, it's still hard to get on the internet. Because I'm looking at my email, and here comes some ad on the side. It's just the world we live in. And you gotta be careful in this life. But that's just everywhere, Pastor. It's normal. No, it's not normal to watch nudity on movies. It's not. And it's not right. Matthew 5:28, Jesus said, whosoever looks on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery in his heart. I know this. I know in the hundreds of thousands of church services this morning, there's not a lot of preachers preaching this because they're watching this stuff. Fine. But God's word hasn't changed. And God still is holy, holy, holy. And just because it's common doesn't mean it's right. Just because everybody's doing it, everybody sees it, and everybody watches that stuff, doesn't mean it's right. Be holy, for I am holy. Flee fornication. It says run from it. Don't try to resist it. don't try to resist it. I knew a lady who's giving a testimony about her husband, and she said, "Oh, my husband, I'm so proud of him. He finally moved all his bad magazines out to the garage." Well, that's a step. And says, "You know, the only problem is my son keeps going out there." Okay, maybe you should burn him. Okay, flee youthful lusts. Flee youthful lusts. And by the way, if you don't know this, you look at those magazines, your wife is not, you wonder why your wife's not affectionate with you. I don't understand it. Women are going, they don't? How stupid are they? Some of us listen to women, okay, and understand their thinking. And it's look at your wife. That's biblical. Bible says, let her breast satisfy thee at all times. That's what the Bible says. Think about your wife. Look at your wife. Keep your eyes in your head. Keep your eyes in your head. And women, dress right. Dress right. Don't let the world choose your styles today. That body's to be seen by one man. Keep everything in. Keep everything. You don't need a pair of pants so tight that we can tell if the quarter's heads or tails in your pocket, okay? And everything doesn't need to be hanging out and all that stuff. I mean, be modest. And the Bible commands us to be modest, okay? Back to verse 18. You can put that in your notes about the quarter. I don't know how they get those things on sometimes, by the way. I mean, it's just... flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. And this is really important here. Is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. I want to understand that it separates sexual sin in a different realm. See how much time I got here? Sexual sin, it says that you sin against your own body. Now, we could tell you about venereal disease and AIDS and all those things like that, and that is true. And that's right. And is dangerous. And then you're nuts if you go mess around today. You're crazy. Spin the revolver and put one bullet in it. Okay, you're crazy with all that's out there. And by the way, I've counseled people who got the venereal diseases. Okay? Not that I don't have compassion on them, I love them. It's not fun. And it's not fun to say, you got to go tell your wife. Okay? It's bad. And it's foolish. And pregnancy outside of marriage, it's not good. And all these things aren't good. We say that with love and compassion. We say because we love people, because it's heartache and heartbreak and broken lives. Okay? And we will have single moms here a lot today. And if you ask them who helps them pay their bills, you'll find out I have compassion on them and help them, okay? But it's not easy, and it doesn't end up good. and so we see that. Let me take it to Proverbs and show you that sexual sins are a little bit different. All sin is bad, but sexual sins are a little bit different. And Proverbs, I'm going to just take a few verses here, and I'll hurry through them. Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 18. I'm talking about the adulterous woman, for her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life. So she's very dangerous. And boy, I'm right on the edge here with how I want to talk in church, okay? And I want to be appropriate here. Have I been inappropriate yet? Nope, I haven't been. So I'm trying to be there. But God gives warnings here. And loose sexual immorally women are very dangerous in a lot of ways, and they'll kill you. And you got to be very careful. And the Bible says it inclines to death. A lot of times that somebody goes to the wrong sexually immoral man or woman, and it doesn't end with sexuality. It ends with overdoses, ends with jail time. A lot of that stuff happens, and I don't have time to tell you stories, but just seen it. Proverbs 29, verse 3, whoso loveth wisdom rejoices his father, but he that keepeth company with harlots spendeth his substance. Proverbs chapter 30, and verse 20, I believe it is. Such is the way of an adulterous woman, she eateth and wipeth her mouth, and saying, I have done no wickedness. And it makes you spiritually insensitive. Proverbs, and I'll get back to that in a sec, Proverbs 21 and verse 8. It makes you spiritually insensitive in other areas. Proverbs 21 and verse 8. The way of a man is forward and strange. I got the wrong verse written in here. Proverbs 6:32. Let me take you to Proverbs 6 because it's the big verse I want to focus on. Proverbs 6 and 32. But whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh not understanding, and he that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. Real briefly, it says you destroy your own soul. It's a different kind of sin here. Been working with people for a pretty long time, and a lot of people, and spiritually. They can have issues with finances, and we can work on that and fix it. They can have, and immorally, financially, and thievery, and things like that. There's many different areas we work with. A lot of different sins. We'll have people who are drug addicts in service this morning. People who are alcoholics, people who've been popping pills. We'll have all kinds of things in our service this morning. We always do. And we help them. In all my experience, when somebody is living with somebody who's not their spouse, I can never take them very far spiritually. Now, when our church was young, we had six couples in our church. All six were living together. None of them were married. And I couldn't take them anywhere. Because you destroy your soul somehow, and it changes some spiritual dynamic where you can never become a great Christian. There's a lot of those sins where you just kind of progress and work around them, and they just kind of work out of them, but you just hit a stone wall because you destroy your soul, it says. Not your body, your soul. There's something about sexual immorality that starts affecting every area of your life. When a teenager becomes sexually impure and starts being sexually active outside of marriage, everything will change with them. If you have your wisdom and watch people, you've seen this. All of a sudden, that sweet little kid is back talking. All of a sudden, that sweet little kid has an anger problem and starts flunking out of school. It affects everything. It destroys your soul. You must be sexually pure. It's very important. Now, I have seven kids. They look like me. Okay? Understand. I do not think it's sexual things are bad. Okay? They're great and wonderful and godly, and God made them that way. We just got to keep them in the realms. Car's not bad, but if you drive drunk, it's bad. Okay? And we got to keep them in the right realms that God puts them in, and we've got to do that. It destroys your soul. We see this in our society. I want to say very simply, we're over-sexualized. That's the problem. One of the saddest things is... When you get innocent and pure again, I want to say this, you can be innocent and pure again. You look at a girl and you can say, boy, isn't she pretty? Without a sexual thought. But when you get defiled, every woman a man looks at sexually. And a woman starts thinking thoughts that are way outside the realm of normal thoughts. And we used to enjoy... Leave It to Beaver, and there's nothing sexual on it. But now they put it in everything because people like it everywhere. It's crammed on our throat. It's everywhere. It's in the music. It's in everything you see. I wanted to say, get out of that culture. Get into purity. In the bedroom, total affection. 100% give your body away. And please each other. Awesome. But outside of that, leave it in the bedroom. Leave it in the bedroom. And get away from the society that's doing that. It's very important that we do that. All right, so we're going to be finished with the lesson in just a sec here. I'm going to pray in just a sec, but then I'm going to have Lori, if you want to go back there, we're going to take pictures between Sunday school and church. Our photographer is ready to take pictures. And so I want to send a couple people back there that you don't have any kids. We don't want to take our kids out of class right now. But anybody in here, any family, any two people from a family or more, that there's no kids and you're ready for your picture right now, can you just raise your hand? Okay, Thomas, why don't you and your dad just go through here? You can go right back through. Anybody else want to get a couple pictures in? Anybody else? Okay. Aaron, why don't you and your wife, you can go back there and get your picture taken. Anybody else? Any other couples here? Any other who don't have to get kids out of class? All right. Now, I'm going to get one more family, but I need one more family who has kids in class, but they're going to let the kids out for a minute, and we're going to let you get, I need one more family to get their pictures taken, so anybody else? Just one more family? Okay, you guys want to do that? Okay, so after I pray, just go wait in the next room over, and your kids will be let out, and grab your kids, and then we'll get your picture taken. Okay. All right, and then we'll be getting pictures taken all this morning. We're going to try to get as many as we can before church, so afterwards you won't have to wait long. And get your, anybody else wants to go before? We will have room for another one. You guys are good? Okay. After we pray, you guys can go out. Okay, let's go ahead and pray, and we'll dismiss you, and we'll be back in about 12 minutes for our main service. Father, thank you for church today. Lord, it's a hard message. I pray that we had the hearts to take it. I pray that we would see your wisdom and see where this society is leading and see that it's not a good thing. And I pray that we'd follow your way and see the joy of marriage and that you created intimacy between a man and a woman and the wonder of it. Help us to be pure and right and do these things like we ought to. In Jesus' name, amen. You're